So let me start this class on British media. The reason for this is partly so that you understand where a document comes from, but also even in the oral, you might get an extract from the radio or something. You know, you might, these are things you need to know, and people often don't. Now, obviously, you are not surprised to hear that paper copies of newspapers everywhere in the world, including Britain, are falling rapidly. From a very high base, Britain and Japan were, 10 years ago, the places in the world where they sold the most newspapers. The normal thing to do in Britain was to read a national newspaper in the morning and a regional newspaper in the evening. Yeah, buying two newspapers a day was normal. And only in the last 10 years, with the online, has it begun to collapse. Many people, however, do still rely on the newspapers, just they tend to read it on the internet. I don't know what that is. And the online newspapers all have different ways of making money, because, of course, the problem with writing things online is everybody expects it to be free. So there are different ways to do it. Now, The Guardian, which is the most important slightly left-wing newspaper, it's a bit like Libération, so it's a little bit left-wing, yeah, a little bit progressive. The Guardian, everything of The Guardian is free online. But every time you read an article, they give you this little paragraph which says, it's free, but we need money. Please send us some money. I don't know if this works or not. It's difficult. It's a difficult one to work, but it's a decision. It's all free, and they decide to ask for money. But The Guardian is one of the most important national newspapers, rather on the left. The Times, or the Sunday Times, however, almost nothing is free. Almost nothing is free, and you have to subscribe, and you get 1 month free. But of course, after that, you have to pay every month. Now, subscribing to newspapers and paying for them, it's an interesting idea. Combien de gens ici payent un abonnement à une publication en ligne? It's not very popular, is it? And it's not. I know that a lot of you don't have any money, but even those who have a bit of money, it's not something we like to do. I don't, and I have lots of money. I'm a professor. So they try to get people to subscribe, the Times and the Sunday Times. The Times is what we call in French le journal de référence, like Le Monde in France, the most establishment newspaper. It's also a great sign of British imperialism, because in New York they have the New York Times, and in India they have the Times of India. And in England we just have the Times, you know. We are the center of the world. If you didn't notice yet. So it's a very imperialistic sort of view of the world, the Times and the Sunday Times. Probably less well-respected than they were 20 years ago, but nevertheless, the establishment newspaper. This third possibility is something like mixed options, whereas, for example, with The Economist, which is an extremely good conservative weekly magazine, extremely well written, perhaps the best written English language magazine in the world, extremely well written, and it has a mixed option, 5 articles every month free if you send your email, and then you can subscribe if you wish. But if you don't pay anything, you get 5 articles every month. This is quite an intelligent idea, because every month you are reminded that it exists, and maybe after a year or two you like their articles, maybe you will subscribe. So the Economist there. Now, it's a rather strange name, actually, The Economist, because in fact they have a lot of articles about history, science, and everything else, as well as the economy. Very conservative place. Okay, so if we look at the UK press in general, of course the press is private. Strangely enough, in every country in Europe, people consider that it's normal to have public television channels, but it's not normal to have publicly owned newspapers. I don't know why. The tradition is private newspapers, but also public TV and radio channels. So the UK press can generally print whatever they like within the limits of libel law. I'm sure you remember this vocabulary. If I write here, Charlotte is a murderer, and I print it in the newspaper, that's libel. Whereas if I say on television, Charlotte is a murderer, that's not libel, that's slander. Slander is when you speak defamation of character, and libel is when you write it. I'm sure there's somebody called Charlotte here. I hope she's not a serial murderer. And finally, the requirements of the Official Secrets Act, that the government is allowed to keep certain kinds of information secrets. There's Rupert Murdoch, one of the biggest owners of the press in Britain. He's an Australian billionaire, and he owns the Times, and he owns the Sun. We generally, even though we don't necessarily buy them on paper these days, we tend to divide the newspapers into popular newspapers, in inverted commas, and quality newspapers, in inverted commas. Now, it's in inverted commas because they're not always of quality. That's just what they call themselves. Generally, the quality press relies on advertising. And the key difference, really, is that the quality press will generally separate opinion and fact. So on some pages you will have the facts about what happened, and on a different page you will have the opinions about what happened. Whereas the popular newspapers will mix them together. Every article is an opinion article. Also, the popular newspapers will have more about celebrities. Although, even the quality newspapers these days have a lot about celebrities, or the Queen, or people like that. Yeah, so the popular, what we used to call the tabloids, they usually have, first of all, they're much more amusing, they're much more entertaining. Large illustrations, catchy headlines, and a long tradition of very amusing headlines. We will see a couple of examples in a moment. They will carry more sports, celebrity gossip, humour and wordplay. That's all very important. It's very humorous. Crime stories, problem pages, and scandal. But the most important thing is editorial and news content is not separated. Every article is an opinion, really. Whereas the quality papers give more in-depth economic and political analysis and deal widely with social and cultural issues, and they try to separate the opinion page from the other page. Now, there are a lot of stereotypes about who reads which newspaper. It can be a little confusing. It's certainly, if you go into the high school and you go into the teacher's room, you will probably see The Guardian. Whereas if you go to a bus station and you go into the bus driver's room, you will probably see The Sun and The Daily Mirror. But a lot of people buy both. And also, a lot of people buy The Sun for the sports. Yeah. Although The Sun is a very conservative newspaper, that doesn't mean that only conservatives buy it. A lot of people buy it for the sport and the jokes, which are sometimes tremendously funny. Yes, please. Si vous dites, s'il vous plaît. Oui. OK. J'allais le faire quand même. Oui, 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 bien sûr. Dès que j'ai fini un PowerPoint, je le mets en ligne. Donc, ne recopiez pas tout, c'est pas nécessaire. And of course, as you can imagine, the newspaper readerships are somewhat divided on class lines. That is, if you find 10 people who read The Guardian, you will probably find a teacher and a doctor and a lawyer. You might find a bus driver, but you find more teachers. And the opposite with the popular newspapers. There is one more category, the mid-market dailies, in the middle of the market. This is the Daily Express and the Daily Mail. So they're intermediate in the sense that popular newspapers should have short articles, and quality newspapers have long articles, and the mid-market is somewhere in the middle, the Daily Mail and the Daily Express. Now, the vast majority of newspapers in Britain are conservative, as we will see. The newspapers in Britain are much more political than the newspapers in France. When it is election time, on the front page of every newspaper, well, on the front page of 8 newspapers, it will say, "Vote Conservative." And on the front page of 2 newspapers, it will say, "Vote Labour." Now, we don't have this in France. Although we know that Le Figaro does not want us to vote communist, it will not say on the front page, "Vote for so-and-so." That's not a tradition in France. I think people don't like to be told what to do, something like that. You're all anarchists, I know. So, je suis un petit peu confus, peut-être je n'ai pas toutes les informations. Moi, je m'attendais à ce que vous soyez tous en nef, mais ce n'est pas le cas, c'est ça? Si? Ah oui, NA, ce n'est pas not applicable, c'est non alternant. Ok, fine, it's good, ok. Non alternant, ça donne l'impression que vous savez tourner à gauche, mais pas à droite. Quelque chose. Never mind. Okay, so the popular newspapers. Now, this is the situation in 2018. You can see that in 1 year, they all lost minus 7%, minus 11%, minus 15%, minus 14%. But there are still newspapers in Britain which sell a million copies. There is no newspaper in France that has sold a million copies for the last 20 years. The closest is West France, which is the biggest seller. It's much easier to sell newspapers in Britain. So this is the general situation. The big sellers and the slightly less big sellers. And I will be identifying them in a moment. The Sun is the biggest seller. Still today sells over a million, which is very, very impressive. Very conservative. Rather scandalous. And also very funny. And here you have a couple of examples. This is the election. The election last year, in 2017, sorry, 2 years ago. And you can see this is the leader of the Labour Party, called Jeremy Corbyn. So it's don't chuck Britain in the core bin. Poubelle. Yeah, core poubelle. it's not sophisticated, okay. So that this is the sort of thing. And you can see, so very, very controversial, because look how the Labour leader is identified. A friend of terrorists. It's fundamentally defamatory. Of course, he's not a friend of terrorists. It's a ridiculous idea, yeah? Marxist extremist. Oh, okay. Okay. Nuclear surrender. Wow, yes, a really enemy of business, etc. So that's one. And here is another one, because they're not always political. Sometimes their front page is other. Here you have, this is Prince Harry. For a joke, this is about 10 years ago, he went to a party dressed as a Nazi for a joke. That's funny, isn't it? Okay, yeah. And the Sun denounced him for that. So they like to have a front page which says, oh, you know, buy this, there'll be a lot of jokes, a lot of scandal, a lot of gossip, and some news. And also the sport, which is very, very, very important. Still the Sun, here, one of their most famous anti-European Union headlines about 10 years ago. And at this time, Jacques Delors was some important person in the European Union. And they said, we do not want to join the EQ. This was what they had before the Euro. And the Sun says, you know, at 12 o'clock, all readers of the Sun should turn to France and put two fingers up at them and the slogan then, up yours, Delors. Donc, va te faire foutre, Delors, mais ça rime, vous voyez. C'est bien fait, c'est du. Here's another similar newspaper, perhaps even more scandalous, the Daily Star. Yeah? Yeah. I still love Diana. A fair haunt, ex-lover 9 years after, etc. You get the picture. This is the popular tabloid, rather scandalous news thing. Here's two more. They're not always political. You know, this is all about, you know, a television star who is going to die at home. You know, you get the picture. That kind of thing. Home to die with mum. L'autre, c'est sur un âne qui faisait la parapente. Vous n'avez pas ça en France. Vous n'avez pas de la culture. It has to be said that sometimes the popular newspapers actually just invent stories. And here is an example. It's from quite a long way ago. It's from 2010. This is the apology. Now, of course, the article was on page 2, but the apology is on page 17. So, an article on the 15th of September reported that the RMT General Secretary, the leader of one of the biggest trade unions in the country, had a union-subsidised home and a luxury car. In fact, Mr. Crowe's home has never been subsidised, and he does not own a car. So what they're saying is, we invented the story completely. Yeah. And they do invent stories, and they sometimes apologise. So certainly you have to be rather careful with this tradition. Here is another example. Just after a very serious ceremony to celebrate the dead soldiers, they said, Corbyn, the same man, he was dancing after the ceremony because he doesn't respect our heroes of the war. But in fact, it's complete Photoshop. In fact, he was just walking along with it, and they took the photographs and they said he was dancing, you know. So you really have to be very, very careful with these people. They're not honest people. There's a famous story where one of the leaders of the Labour Party said, a man phoned me and said, hello, I'm a journalist from The Sun. I'm a journalist, I work for The Sun. And he answered, you can be one or the other, but you can't be both. Yeah, so it's funny. You can either be a journalist or work for The Sun. The Daily Mirror is the second biggest selling newspaper and the only popular newspaper which supports Labour. The only popular newspaper which supports Labour, the Daily Mirror. These are very old newspapers. The Daily Mirror is 100 years old. As you can see, in this case, when it came to election time, they presented Theresa May as crazy coalition of crackpots. Yes, ce sont tous des anglais. Yeah, so it's the same style, a similar style. And here's another Daily Mirror from a long time ago, from 20 years ago, during the Iraq War, where this is George Bush, it's a speech about the war, where you have inserted all the names of important oil companies. So it's a joke, and the message is the reason for the war in Iraq is oil, it's money and oil. Yeah, so it's a left-wing message against President Bush. Yeah, among the five national daily tabloids, only one is left-wing, The Mirror. There you can see the front page they had to welcome the election of Barack Obama, for example. And then two more. Then about Corbyn. So Daily Mirror is the one popular newspaper which supports Labour. The other new phenomenon over the last 20 years is the number of free newspapers. Because of course, if people don't want to buy newspapers, you can still make money from advertisers if you give the newspapers away. So here are the biggest free newspapers: Metro, over 1 million, 1.5 million. Free newspapers, and the London Evening Standard, which in the past was a paid-for newspaper, is now free. 858,000, and these numbers are not going down. Yeah, so the London Evening Standard. You will find, if you go to a metro station in London, you'll find both of these free. There you go. Bizarrely enough, for a reason I don't really understand, the free newspapers are more balanced than the popular news. They're very popular, but they are more balanced. So they're not so scandalous. They're not so scandalous. Si jamais ça vous intéresse le Brexit, le 22 septembre, il va y avoir un séminaire sur ça. Brexit saison 2, l'hiver viendra-t-il? Is the title. Yeah, c'est moi qui va le faire, bien sûr. Je me trouve très courageux d'accepter de faire un séminaire sur le Brexit le 22 octobre. On va pas savoir, mais je trouverai bien quelque chose à dire. So in the mid markets, somewhat serious, but not as serious as the quality newspapers. The Daily Mail, over 1 million, but they lost 11% in a year. And the Daily Express, 300,000. So this is important. So if you see an article from the Daily Mail in your dossier, then you can say, this is a newspaper which sells, it's a national daily newspaper which sells a lot, which sells over 1 million, and is rather conservative in style. C'est beaucoup mieux de dire cet extrait du Daily Mail de la date du 19 octobre 2010. Il y a 470 mots dans l'article. Yeah, I exaggerate. So here's the Daily Mail. The Daily Mail and the Daily... These are pretty conservative, really conservative newspapers, yeah? Britain must ban migrants. Yeah, les immigrés, ça devrait être interdit. You can see that this is they sell a lot of newspapers. This is probably more to the right than newspapers in France. So it's very. And here you get another one. Teachers of hatred. A few years ago, Margaret Thatcher died. And in quite a few places, they had a party. This is very exceptional. It's something very interesting about Margaret Thatcher, yeah? Because, you know, for example, Jacques Chirac, conservative president, many people do not agree with him, but people are not going to have a party when he dies. There's something very special about Margaret Thatcher. And so the teachers of hatred, they found some teachers who went to a party because Margaret Thatcher died, and so this is the denunciation of these dangerous Marxists. Daily Mail again, and Daily Express, you know, their favourite enemy, Muslims. Yeah, now Muslims get their own laws in Britain, etc. We have, in general, less Islamophobia in England than in France, but you know, plenty anyway. The Daily Mail again, yeah, the Queen, and social websites harm a child's brain. Have any of you been using social networks? This may harm your brain. Okay, sorry about that. So let's have a look at the quality newspapers. Now, notez bien que il y a bien des guillemets. Hein. C'est comme ça qu'on les appelle. Ça veut dire ce que ça veut dire. There is, as you can see, these are much smaller numbers. The Times, 400,000. Okay. Now, of course, these also have a huge readership online. This is sales of paper. This is sales of paper, but there's also a huge reading online. The Times, the establishment newspaper then. The Guardian, the more left-wing. The Financial Times. Now, bizarrely enough, the Financial Times does not just talk about finance. They talk about everything. It's a general newspaper. They talk more about finance than the other newspapers. But in fact, the Financial Times is a very serious newspaper. All the intellectual Marxists I know read the Financial Times because you get a lot of really solid information in there. And I, which is it's a newspaper, and which is called I. That's all. It was from the company which produced the Independent, but then it just became I. The Times, there you go. And the Financial Times. Yeah, nothing particular to say about about them. You can see they are longer articles. Yeah, longer articles, more measured headlines. But there's also a little bit of popular stuff, you know. What the qu'est-ce qu'ils ont fait les vedettes de Downton Abbey? Yeah, that's not so serious. Yeah, so they do allow to have they do allow them to talk about other questions as well. The other quality newspaper is the Daily Telegraph. The Daily Telegraph is the most conservative of the quality newspapers. So in the popular newspapers, you have on the right the Daily the Sun and the Daily Star. And more left, the Daily Mirror. In the mid-market newspapers, they're all on the right, the Daily Mail and the Daily Express. And in the quality newspapers, you have the Times, a little bit on the right, the Guardian, a little bit on the left, and the Daily Telegraph, the most conservative. Boris Johnson was employed as a columnist in the Daily Telegraph. It was his job to write opinions in the Daily Telegraph. Sometimes rather controversial opinions. There are also a large number of magazines. Now, je sais quand vous recommande de lire la presse anglophone, pendant cette année. Le problème, c'est qu'il faut trouver le temps et il ne faut pas devenir expert. Mais c'est vrai que les grandes histoires, il faut quand même savoir ce qui se passe. Sinon, faites attention. Par exemple, si vous voyez un lien dans le document que oh, je pourrais faire le lien au Brexit, ne le faites que si vous savez ce dont vous parlez. Si vous rajoutez simplement une phrase sur Brexit et c'est évident que vous ne savez pas de quoi vous parlez, là vous allez perdre des points. Parce qu'ils n'aiment pas ça. Donc, parce que, en fait, en général, vous êtes obligé d'apprendre des choses parce que le jury est très, très malin. Vous n'allez pas réussir à le faire penser que vous savez des choses que vous ne savez pas. Ils font ça depuis 20 ans, vous n'avez aucune chance. Okay, so The Economist is, as I said, probably the best written English language magazine in the world. You have it downstairs in the library, and it deals with a whole load of international questions, but other questions as well. Look, Beyonce and the market for lemonade. Okay, will your surgeon be a robot? And they're also very. It's also very amusingly written. A very, very serious magazine. Very serious magazine, but very well written. Very punchy. Private Eye is the a humorous magazine, rather conservative humorous magazine. It's very difficult to compare humour, and certainly there is nothing in Britain which resembles Le Canard Enchaîné. I think you have to live in France for 45 years to understand Le Canard Enchaîné, and I've only been here for 35, so I don't really understand it. But so Private Eye, yeah? So here's a joke, because at one point the son accused Jeremy Corbyn of being a spy from Czechoslovakia, from the Czech Republic. And so here you have Britain's top spies, 007 and 00 Jeremy Corbyn. This is a song which his supporters sing. Also, of course, the newspapers in general, they mock Jeremy Corbyn because he doesn't dress like a politician. Yeah, so they're always making jokes about what how he dresses. And in fact, his own party has had a great problems because they've said, "Look, Jeremy, you have to buy a suit. Okay, we'll meet tomorrow and you'll buy a suit." And then the next day, well, he didn't come. You know, they've been working very hard because they think that, you know, it's one important thing to look the part, but they're having difficulty because he doesn't like that sort of thing. He's a very unusual leader of a party. I know lots of people who know him, because he's been a grassroots activist for 40 years. He was on every small demonstration for 40 years. Very unusual sort of leader. You have, of course, the more Hello, which is more the popularity, the celebrity stuff. GQ for the man about town. On the left, you have some weekly publications. This is one of the most successful of the weekly publications, but these are publications which are written by people for political reasons, not to make money. They will never make money, but they do sell us. That's a number. They're in every news agent, you know. So Red Pepper, donc littéralement Poivron Rouge, and they have, you know, articles. Yeah, Fight the Cuts, Contre l'Austérité, about feminism. And being positive about Jeremy Corbyn, Red Pepper. You can see on their website they have a lot of left-wing opinions about British politics. The biggest activist newspaper is Socialist Worker. This is the newspaper you will find if you go to the supermarket on a Saturday in London. Somebody will be there. Well, would you like a copy of Socialist Worker? La Vente Militante. And here you have these are weekly, this is the New Statesman, which is a more intellectual left-wing magazine. So you can see here the question, pourquoi tant de femmes qui réussissent n'ont pas d'enfants? Okay, and so on. So this kind of thing, important social and political questions. Those are weekly publications on the left. We also have a series of publications which are intended for particular communities within Britain. So, for example, The Voice is a newspaper for Black British. And this is a particular animal which I haven't seen in France. I've never seen a newspaper in France for Algerians printed in France. See, it's not the same thing. Of course, you can read the newspapers which come from Algeria. But this is for black people in Britain, and this is for Polish people living in Britain. The Polish were the biggest immigration in after 2000. At one moment, there were 700,000 Polish people living in Britain. It's gone down a little now because they found it's cold, you know. Well, it's cold in Poland as well. It's getting a bit more complicated, but these are community magazines, particular ethnic or other groups. For the Irish living in Britain, so notice this is not a newspaper from Ireland, it's a newspaper for Irish people living in Britain. So the voice of the Irish community in Britain, the Irish world, and the Jewish Chronicle. Now the Jewish Chronicle is the oldest Jewish newspaper in Europe. It's more than 100 years old, the Jewish Chronicle. And all of these have websites, of course, if there's any which interest you. So, I want to go briefly over radio and television. This is just so you have some general idea, so that, you know, if they say, oh, this is a documentary from Radio 4, well, you know, oh, yeah, well, Radio 4, I know what that is. Yeah. So that they get the impression of you being inside British culture. Now, of course, we're very proud in Britain because we had the first radio, which was the BBC. And that was very interesting because in the 1920s, when they invented radio, everything had to be invented. So they invented the disc jockey and they invented the quiz show. Because, you know, they don't exist until you invent them. So the BBC was developed in the 1920s and had a monopoly. The only people who were allowed to make radio programmes in Britain were, until the 1960s, the end of the 1960s, was the BBC. And the BBC originally tended to have a rather paternalistic view of media. We will put on the radio what is good for people. Yeah. So there was a lot of classical music and a little bit of popular music. On Saturday night, there's some popular music, okay. And this was transformed during the Second World War because they had a big problem. There were millions of British soldiers abroad, especially in North Africa. And they had the BBC, of course, they were listening to the BBC. And then suddenly, all of the British soldiers started listening to the German radio. Because the German radio had popular music 12 hours a day with news bulletins in English, of course. It was a propaganda thing. And nobody wanted to listen to the BBC. And the government said to the BBC, you change to popular music now. And this would, because it became a military danger that you don't want all your soldiers listening to the German radio. This is not good. Because, of course, they also had the news and the propaganda and so on. And so the BBC content transformed and popular music was right out because of the Second World War. In the 1960s, there was competition to the BBC from the pirate radios because it was illegal to have a private radio station in Britain. But, of course, Britain is an island. And so it was fairly easy to have a radio station on a ship and just go round, and that's what they did. Radio Caroline and Radio Luxembourg were the pirate radios, and they invented all-day music. They invented the all-day music radio, not so much talk. And they were very exciting places. Now, I'm afraid to say that the film about one of them, I don't personally think is a very good film, but it is a good... A good thing. The pirate radios were very exciting. Very exciting. Although I don't personally like the film. So they got this competition for the BBC, and there were lots of in and out. The government tried to ban the pirate radios, and there was a lot of long fight. But eventually, there was a transformation of the BBC. They succeeded in closing the pirate radios. And they recruited all the best disc jockeys from the pirate radios were recruited by the BBC. So after the end of the 1960s, I think this is sometime in the 1970s, you got the new structure of the BBC, which is fundamentally the same today. BBC Radio 1, the best new music. If you listen to Radio 1, you will normally find no music which is more than 2 years old. It really is today's music. Radio 2 is popular music from 1960 to today. Yeah, well, very, very wide. So that's where you'll hear the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the Pet Shop Boys and Rihanna, all of it. Yeah. There is a terrible moment in the life of every English man and woman when they realise that they prefer Radio 2 to Radio 1. This is the beginning of becoming old. Yeah. Radio 3, high culture, classical music, jazz, world, arts and drama. Lots of theatre and so on. Radio 4, these are the official slogans. Radio 4, intelligent speech. I recommend Radio 4 for some of its documentaries. And also, the Radio 4 comedy is, in my opinion, the best radio comedy in Europe. I listened to who's that person on? Is it on France Culture, France Inter, qui fait la chronique humoristique de l'info, une femme? Et le texte est très bon, mais le timing, il devrait aller faire des stages de formation en Angleterre, je trouve. C'est mon avis. Okay, and Radio 5 Live News, Live Sport. This is today's big structures, but there are more specialised ones as well, which I think are down here somewhere. Oh yeah, and of course, a lot of this you listen to online now. But there is also more kinds of radio. For example, there is 1X, which is what they call urban music, which is fundamentally music with black roots, drum and bass and so on. And Asian Network. Now, Asian Network is not a radio station from Asia, it's for Asians in Britain. And now you have to remember the bit of vocabulary, in specialist vocabulary of British civilization. If you are Asian in Britain, what countries do you come from? India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. That's all. Yeah. If you're Chinese, you don't get called Asian in England. It's bizarre, but it's like that. Asian in British civilization has a specific meaning, which is basically Indo-Pakistan. This is not the case in America. If you're an Asian American, that's something completely different. Yeah, this is just Britain. I don't know why, Asians. And so you have this radio station for Asians in Britain. Now here we see one of the specificities about British management of diversity. This would be something much less likely in France. Not impossible, but it would be considered, c'est pas du communautarisme, ça? Yeah? Now, we don't even have the word communautarisme in British. You know that this is a big cultural difference between Britain and France about the relation between the nation and its different sections. And the most important thing for you is to understand how the difference works. Yeah, it's not so important what your opinion is about it. That's not so important, but to understand where it's coming from. So this is the BBC, the nationalised public network, and we have a specialised station for Asians. This is just not going to happen in France. It's just not going to happen because it doesn't work like that. France Arabe, peut-être pas. I'm sure there are some things, but I think it's less likely. There are many podcasts I recommend. Now, I know that you don't have much time this year, but also you probably find that, you know, after 7 hours a day of classes and 3 hours reading books in the evening, then you don't have much time. So I do recommend podcasts because you can just listen to them in the bus or while you're playing golf or whatever you do on the weekends. I'm a big podcast person. I have an MP3 player here with 120 documentaries on it. Really, that's what I do. So for music, these are some of the podcasts you can get on the BBC website. For music, the BBC introducing, this is this month's new music from the internet. Desert Island Discs, very, very, very good. You sometimes have extracts for this on the exam. Desert Island Discs is a very, very old program. It's 50 years old. Every week for 50 years it has existed. And it's a very simple idea. You choose somebody who is a little bit famous. You know, maybe they're a doctor or a rap musician or a politician or any kind of thing, a sportsman. Very, very wide idea of a little bit famous. And you ask them, you have to choose 8 songs. Imagine you're going to be lost on a desert island alone. You have to choose which 8 songs you would take there and why. So of course it's a kind of interview about your life. You have to have 8 songs. And you also have to choose 1 book and 1 luxury. Now the bizarre thing about this is that when they say you have to choose 1 book, but this is a very special desert island. There is already the complete works of Shakespeare and the Bible on this desert island. Normal. This is just to make sure, because one of the problems is everybody would choose Shakespeare. Or the Bible, or both. So they say that there is already the Bible. It's bizarre, but it's very successful. It has continued for 50 years, and today you can have, so this is a musician this week. Every week it's somebody different, and if you look at them, you will probably find some people who interest you, because there's a long list. Desert Island Discs. Women's Hour. I recommend this program if you are a woman or if you know any women. Okay, quite an interesting every day an hour on questions vaguely connected with women. It's not a very political program. It's very much a cultural program. I like this one. This is about this is like popular documentaries. So it's like 20 minutes. And it's quite popular, it's quite witty. And this is about, it's actually about statistics. And they say, you heard this statistic in the press. Let's have a look at it and see if it's true or not. Yeah, but more or less, I like that. I like that one. The film programme is about cinema. I recommend this one because film often appears on the CAPES. And the reason for this is very simple. The jury of the CAPES, you have les linguistes, les civilisationnistes et les littéraires. Alors, les historiens, ils lisent pas de la littérature. Les littéraires, ils savent rien sur l'histoire. Et alors, le cinéma, c'est quelque chose qui, assez souvent, parce qu'ils y savent tous un petit peu. Alors, c'est assez souvent que ça tombe pour ça. Je ne sais pas si vous savez, mais entre les historiens et les littéraires, c'est pas le grand amour, hein. Okay, the film program. I have nothing against literary people. Okay, sorry. Inside Health, it's a joke. Some of them are very nice. Some of my best friends are literary people. Okay, Inside Health, yeah, just about health. Yeah, let's say that there is a large variety of podcasts on the web, and I recommend this because really for the oral bit where you have to listen to something, really you want to be able to understand all of it on the first time. Yeah, and so you may well need to practice. You may well need to practice. There are also very many private radio stations, often local. So just to quickly have a look at television, and we're very proud, of course, that the first regular high definition television service was done by the BBC in 1936. Est-ce que je vais vous expliquer ça? Oui. So there's the public. Of course, television is getting very complicated now because there's all this tremendous interest in Netflix and cable TV. So it's no longer really clear where television is actually at. But nevertheless, that we still have the public television in Britain, BBC One and BBC Two. Which get most of their money from the television licence fee. You have to pay a television licence. There is no advertising on the BBC, and there never has been. This was a choice which was made. There's never any advertising. And so they get the money from the television licence, which costs £154 a year, although it's much cheaper for black and white. Okay. So that's the public channels. And the private channels, ITV, Channel 4 and Channel 5. And of course the main development over the past few years, booming satellite and cable television, and especially Netflix. I mean, my daughter watches Netflix on her telephone while she is cleaning her teeth. Do you do this? Oh, okay, it's a generational thing. I'm just old. So there you go, BBC television. There are some characteristics of British television. In France, you still have, on the television in the evening, many channels would have a film. And that's not the case in Britain. In Britain, there's a big specialisation in half-hour programmes. There's a big specialisation in half-hour programmes. Two of the most popular television shows in Britain are these soap operas, Coronation Street, which has produced a new episodes every week since 1960. It's the oldest television series in the world. And it is about everyday life in a street in Manchester. Okay. And EastEnders, which is shown continuously since 1985, is about everyday life in a street in London. British people adore these programmes. If they go on holiday to Spain, they phone and say, "What happened on EastEnders?" Yeah. It's an absolute obsession. And look, 9 million viewers. 7 to 12 million viewers. This is successful TV. One of the interesting things about them is that they have always tried to introduce, little by little, different social questions. And so you could if you go back to the 1960, you can find the date of the first black character, the date of the first divorced woman character, the date of the first gay character, the date of the first transsexual character. And they've actually often been relatively progressive in the way that they have dealt with these questions. There are many books written about them, some of them quite good. Soap operas. So what do people love to watch in Britain? Well, the bizarre thing about it is that if you take the top 10 cinema films in Britain last year, I think 7 of them are American. If you take the top 10 television programmes, none of them are American, 0. The British are very attached to British television. So here's the 10 that you got. The first two, okay, football. Britain's Got Talent, yeah, talent show. Call the Midwife, 10 million viewers. Call the Midwife is a historical drama about being a midwife and sage-femme in the 1950s. In the poor parts of town, yeah, and it really shows the terrible poverty that was around in the 50s, which has been forgotten, you know, because c'est les 30 glorieuses, mais il en reste des quartiers quand même. Coronation Street, Saturday Night Takeaway, je sais pas ce que c'est, The Royal Wedding. Oh yeah, The Royal Wedding. I don't know most of these. Silent Witness is a detective thing, police forensics, and Dancing on Ice. The dancing programmes. There was an attempt in France with Danser avec les Stars, but in Britain there were 30 million people watching it. It was the absolute massive success. Whereas in France it was okay. It got some people, but it wasn't a national obsession. The other thing which was bizarrely a national obsession in Britain a few years ago was the Great British Bake Out. Is it Bake Out or Bake Away or something? Making cakes, a competition about making cakes. And the winner, 2 years ago, the winner was a Muslim who wears a headscarf. And they had to make British cakes, and so it was a big discussion about what it means to be British and what's important about cakes. But it had a certain importance. So radio and television broadcasting supervised by two bodies, the British Broadcasting Corporation for public television and Ofcom for private television. So Ofcom is a government agency whose job is to check that private television is not breaking the law. In fact, there are a lot of things, you're not allowed to pay a criminal to interview them. Did you know that? In Britain, at least. If somebody has murdered somebody, even 20 years later, you're not allowed to pay them to have their story about how they murdered somebody. That's illegal. And there's a whole series of laws, obviously laws about privacy. You can't just film children and then put them on television because it's not allowed. Yeah. So that's the sort of thing that Ofcom deals with. Yeah, Ofcom has a statutory duty to further what it considers the interests of citizens and consumers by promoting competition and protecting consumers from what it considers harmful or offensive material. Okay. So it's a supervisory body, a regulatory body. Je crois que le reste ça m'intéresse plus trop. Je vais le mettre sur le blanc quand même.